1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in California announced a massive drug bust involving foreign cartels. ABC's M. Nguyen has details.
Federal prosecutors in Southern California have announced a historic bust, charging 24 suspects in connection with an alleged money laundering scheme between Mexico's Sinaloa drug cartel and Chinese brokers, while seizing millions of dollars in drugs, including 300 pounds of cocaine.
Today and Thursday expected to be the hottest days of the week in the eastern Great Lakes and New England. Heat index readings expected to hit triple digits. Millions of people dealing with potentially dangerous heat. The Biden administration involved in another diplomatic dispute with Israel after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accused the White House of withholding weapons shipments. And baseball legend Willie Mays, one of the greatest players in history, has died at age 93. This is ABC News. Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun was on Capitol Hill Tuesday facing questioning from members of a Senate committee. ABC transportation correspondent Gio Benitez has more.
A Boeing quality assurance investigator alleging faulty parts are being installed in new planes, warning it could lead to a catastrophic event. Boeing and Calhoun himself say they are reviewing the claims, but when asked if he has personally spoken with any of the whistleblowers.
I have not directly spoken to any of the whistleblowers.
Do you think that'd be a good idea to do that?
Yeah, I think it would.
Calhoun first took over the company in a moment of crisis following the tragic crashes of 737 MAX planes in 2018 and 2019 in Ethiopia and Indonesia.
Immediately after the pandemic, there was a major surge in the sales of luxury goods like handbags and shoes. But that surge expected to stall this year. A Bain study cited political uncertainty in the U.S., economic uncertainty in China, and a creativity crisis. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Okay, college kids are smart about a lot of things, but there's one thing they need some help with: leaving college without any credit history. Too many of them are only using debit cards or cash, and those don't build credit. So they leave college with no credit history, which means no credit score, just when they need to rent an apartment or buy a car. And some employers are even checking credit scores these days. Now there's a solution: a credit card made for students. Student cards have a low limit and don't require a credit history. Now, like everybody, students should only use 10 to 15% of their credit every month and pay the card off on time. Then, when somebody's ready for the job market, they've got the credit they need to get the apartment and car that they want. This is exactly what my kiddo's going to be doing when she leaves for college in the next year or so. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WMDX website at mad.radio.
News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump tells a rally in Wisconsin Tuesday that he wants to be the law and order president.
I will be the president for law-abiding Americans, every background, every walk of life, every race, religion, color, and creed. I'll be the president.
Trump was convicted of 34 felonies in a recent hush money trial. Trump campaigned in Racine. Wisconsin's Supreme Court will hear a challenge to Governor Evers' 400-year school funding increase. Evers used his line-item veto to make changes that give Wisconsin schools a per-pupil funding boost for the next four centuries. Wisconsin governors have sweeping veto powers, but the courts have put limits on striking single words or letters. Justices announced Monday that they will take the case. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers win with a spectacular catch. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 6-3 victory over the Angels. Down by three, the Angels' Taylor Ward took the ball deep to center field, but there was Sal Frelick to take it in on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
It's the 1-2 pitch. That ball's driven deep right center field. Frelick is there. He leaps, and he makes the catch! Oh, my goodness! What a play!
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's interesting. We had a conversation in the outfield for the game. I talked to two of their players. They were doing a drill. Let me ask you guys something. Is it me or we've had more robbed home runs this year than ever in the existence of the game. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yes, we have too. And then the game ends like this tonight.
And Willie Mays has died. In his first ever at bat, Mays hit a home run off Braves pitcher Warren Spahn. He was named to the All-Star team 24 times. Willie Mays was 93. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms developing here in the overnight. We'll see partly cloudy skies, lower 70s, and south winds on the breezy side. Showers and storms for your Wednesday. Some of the rain locally heavy. All right, temperatures warming to the lower and middle 80s. It's 78 at our studios.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a special hump day edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. Crute and I will get over our Shark Week hangover in one day.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 3 to 6. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me. On this Tuesday night, we're broadcasting statewide in a very hot, muggy Wisconsin. This to me is what I think about when I think about summer in Wisconsin. It's muggy, but you still want to be outside. It still feels great. The warmth. Conrad just got up to close the curtains.
The light was in my eye.
Oh, really? I thought you were worried you were going to get flashed again. Wait, no, that was me.
I left shortly before
that. You missed the show that night. Oh, darn the luck. It is great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. Got a really fun show tonight. We have a last-minute guest we just added in a few minutes named Chandler Wild, who is going to promote his film called The Dancing Monkey. You can see it in Sheboygan tomorrow night and in Wisconsin Rapids on Thursday night. It just premiered last night in Chicago, and it's based on a Eugene O'Neill play. So we'll talk to Chandler. It's a very quick interview at 7:20. You can check it out and see if that's something you might be interested if you're in one of those areas and if it's your cup of tea. It sounds like a pretty cool film, and our friend Kurt Krause set that up. Then at 7:35, this is exciting. So when I started at Civic Media, I was doing news, and I didn't know much about news, but I wanted to get in with Civic Media, and they taught me how to do it because, you know, Civic Media has just, like, been a phoenix, man. The whole company is just moving so fast. And that's probably the only reason a guy like me was allowed to do news. But it worked out okay. And now, obviously, I have this show since December, and it's been a lot of fun. Lisa Hale, an actual journalist, has come in, and she's a phenomenal news person, and she took over all of Northeast Wisconsin. And Conrad, I have to be honest, I'm surprised it took us this long to get her on the show.
Yeah.
But we'll meet Lisa at 7:35. I've exchanged pleasantries with her on the interwebs. She is she just does a great job doing news. She's got a great voice, great researcher, very articulate, and very straightforward style. Just love it. So we'll talk to Lisa, and we'll find out what she does when she's not reporting news. I'm going to ask her what, like, some of the most strange stories she's covered are, and we'll ask her what she's watching, if she has a news movie. I like to watch news people. Or ask news people that question. We asked Terry Bell that last week when I was in Madison, and he said broadcast news. I got confused. News Radio was the TV show with Phil Hartman that was very funny. Phil Hartman, Dave Foley, Joe Rogan, and Stephen Root, who is in everything. Stephen Root played Milton on The Office. He was the guy with the stapler, and the guy is just like a chameleon. He can play any role. If you look at his IMDb page, it is insane the amount of credits this guy has. Anyway, he was the news radio. I got totally off track there. News radio. But hey, that's the news. You know, if Lisa said news radio, that would be totally acceptable. And then my buddy Mike Schmidt joins me at 8:05. So recently, Quentin Tarantino, there's been a lot of talk in the news. He said he's only going to direct 10 films. He's directed 9, and he is, you know, in talks to find a distributor, to find someone to get behind his 10th feature film that he will direct. He also wrote True Romance, but he did not direct that, so that does not count. But I thought, you know, my friend Mike Schmidt, as funny as he is, and he hosts this wildly popular podcast called The 40-Year-Old Boy, and Schmidt can tell a story forever. I've had him on, and I'm like, man, I need 2 hours with Mike, because he just gets going, and he has these great stories. Do you remember that story, Conrad, he told about sneaking into his friend's house to play hooky from school, yeah. And then the friend's mom came home, and he had to hide from the mom? So Mike will be here at 8:05 tonight, and we're going to talk about Quentin Tarantino and Mike's favorite Quentin Tarantino films. He's seen them all. He loves Tarantino, and I thought this is a perfect time to have Mike on the show. And also, I want to say this. Mike and I, there was a time when we would talk sports, and I think it's pretty much standard that Michael Jordan is the greatest NBA player ever. And I think Mike would acknowledge that, but he loves Larry Bird. And I said something one night about Larry Bird, like I said, well, he's not a great defender or something. And I thought Mike, who is about 300 pounds and 6'2", was going to get me in a headlock and not let go. Like, he's very sensitive about his sports heroes. So we'll discuss that too. I might ask him for his top five. Conrad, if you want to get in on that, make your top five NBA players. We can have that discussion as well.
I already have it.
You do?
Yeah. Oh,
nice. Like the readiness, my friend. As I mentioned last night, Inside Out 2 shattered records at the box office this past weekend. And you could argue that Bad Boys, Ride or Die, and Inside Out 2 kind of saved the summer box office because it's been slumping. So it got me thinking, I'm ashamed I have not seen Inside Out or Inside Out 2. So I'm going to watch them by this weekend. But tonight's question is, in honor of such a movie that crushed at this box office this past weekend, what is your favorite animated film of all time? That is tonight's question. What is your favorite animated film of all time? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There was an animated film, too, that was geared towards adults, like in the late 70s. I think it was called Night Moves. No, it was called American Pop. And the song Night Moves by Bob Seger was in it. And it looked really cool. I never saw it. It was rated R and I was too young. But I always meant to check that film out. And now I don't know if it's even available anymore. But I am going to... I'm glad that popped into my mind. I'm going to check that out. American Pop. So what is your favorite animated film? I would have to say mine is probably Toy Story. I've talked about Toy Story on this show several times. And part of it is because I watched it with my kids when they were growing up. I love Toy Story, and I love Toy Story 2. I would say those are tied for first. I might give the nod to the original Toy Story just because it was the first time we met those characters, and Buzz Lightyear was so funny. Tim Allen voiced Buzz, and Tom Hanks voiced Woody. They were great together. Maybe one of the funniest duos in movie history, certainly the most likable. Absolutely love that film. So that, I'm just going to say Toy Story right out of the gate. Conrad, what about you, buddy?
I love How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
And I know you kind of want to say Cars. Right? I
mean, you know, that's me, one of your... you know me too well, yeah. Already, Pete. Yeah, it's, Cars is, I think Cars would definitely be my number one.
Nice. Okay.
And then close to Cars is How to Train Your Dragon.
Those are great choices. I remember, I have a great memory of trying to get the How to Train Your Dragon. My son Joe and I were running. We lived right by the Universal lot when we lived in LA, and we were literally sprinting. It's this huge parking lot. We're running through the parking lot, and we barely made it. And I was not expecting to like that movie, but it really caught me, and it was just great, great film. How many are there? Two?
There's three, and then there's like a short little 30-minute short on Disney Plus, but they are making a live action one. So
that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll be fun to watch for. Stacy Sue Johnson checking in. Hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Stacy Sue. Great to see you tonight. Sherry from Horicon says, good evening, Pete and Conrad, with very sweet heart emojis. Love it. Hope you're having a great night, Sherry. Stacy Sue says, that's a tough question, Pete. I know it is, Stacy Sue, but I know you're going to answer it. So I'm not, I know you're not that intimidated. Sherry says, Mary Poppins is her favorite animated film. Great choice. Great choice. Stacy Sue says, The Polar Express. Love Cars and Toy Story. Yeah, that's tough to go wrong with those. The Polar Express, I really liked. I will say there are times when, as an adult, I was like, are the kids going to be scared of this? There's like a few scenes.
I remember being creeped out a little bit.
Were you?
Yeah.
The train scene, maybe?
I
when they were singing Hot Chocolate?
It was when he met Santa. I don't know why I was creeped out by that Santa, but I was.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I love the look of the film. I love the kind of the aesthetic, as my son Joe calls it, when they're on the train, the way it's lit and the snow coming down and that the grays and the blues that they used with the tones. But yeah, those are great choices too. And B movie. Yes. Loved B movie as well. Yeah. Stacy says that was, I was blown away that movie put Seinfeld in another stratosphere to me because I was like, all right, this is his little pet project. He has a hit TV show. Let's go see the B movie and take the kids. And I loved it. I was like, man, this guy can do no wrong. And then I saw Unfrosted. So what is this you sent me about Bad Boys? Oh, God.
I knew you'd not like the title of
it. Hey, what do I know? I'm just a fan, okay? I know nothing, folks. I don't pontificate. I hope anyway. I am opinionated. But, you know, you never know what is going to resonate with people. And Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die, crushed at the box office. And I'm glad. I'm glad it helped the summer box office. That's great. But I can't imagine it's a great film. And I have friends that say it's not good, but the critics liked it. But I think jaded people don't like it. But kids probably like it, or teens. So I'm going to see that one too. But Bad Boys 5, this one's Ride or Die. What's that one?
It doesn't have a title. It just says it's being discussed.
Sail or Faint. I'm sure they'll figure something out. And it'll be another home run. Hey, that's great. I never root against a movie, but that Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, I cannot get that out of my head. It was just too, I just can't root for the guy. I don't want anything bad to happen to him. I just feel like he doesn't need any more success than he's had. Tom in New Berlin says, what a great show. Phil Hartman loved all the cast. You're right, Tom. That was a very funny show. And Phil Hartman played that diva radio announcer guy. Someone would say, I forget what his name was. I think it was actually Phil on the show. And they'd say, hey, Phil. And he wouldn't even look at him. And he'd just go, thanks for listening. Just like this really pompous guy. He was a treasure, man. I still miss Phil Hartman. And the 608, Carla says, Shrek, all four of them. Not fair, Carly. You got to pick one. I'll pick for you. I'm going to say the first one. First one had a charm.
I would. Shrek 1 is great.
Is it the best, do you think?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I've only seen two, actually, I think. Jim says, Heavy Metal, great adult animated movie. Nice. Yeah, there's some I know I'm going to miss. I totally forgot about that film. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite animated movie is Polar Express. Two votes for Polar Express. We'll take it. Nice work, Anna and Stacy Sue. All right, we'll read more texts very shortly here. Coming up next, the director of the new film, The Dancing Monkey, Chandler Wilde, will be here for a brief stay, and he'll tell us where we can see his new film. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Matinair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It is so nice to see people walking outside. I mean, it's a gorgeous, it is hot, it's very warm. I don't mind it, but it's just so nice to see people walking and out. Because for when we launched this show in December, it was like a ghost town out here. Remember that, Conrad?
Yeah.
People walking by all ticked off because they're freezing. Now everybody's happy and outside and crazy. All right. So Lisa Hale is coming up at 7:35. The hilariously funny Mike Schmidt will be here at 8:05. We'll read more of your text. Tonight's question is, what is your favorite animated movie of all time? We're asking this kind of as an homage to Inside Out 2, which is sort of in the process of saving the summer box office. So what is your favorite animated film of all time? 855-752-4842, 855-756. Great texts so far. We'll read more of them shortly. Right now, I would like to welcome to Nightlight a guest. He's a director. His name is Chandler Wilde, and his new film is called The Dancing Monkey. And you can catch it in Sheboygan today and tomorrow and in Wisconsin Rapids on Thursday. They just had their premiere last night in Chicago, and the director is here with us now on Nightlight. Chandler, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Enjoying a beautiful Midwestern summer evening.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Just a great night. So this is great. So where are you from?
So we're from New York City.
Okay.
And my producing partner and business partner, Scott De La Cruz, is a proud son of Wisconsin Rapids. Nice. And a couple of years ago, we were making an independent film called The Dancing Monkey. And we decided to come shoot it in his hometown and the surrounding area. And we wanted to bring the film back and show it to audiences kind of across the region as a thank you for all of the support that they gave us in making the film.
How have those screenings gone so far? Are people happy to, are they excited to see it?
Yeah, Chicago was great. We had an amazing talk back. We cast the film out of Chicago. A lot of our crew came out of Chicago. So it was the first time that they got to see the film, seeing it on a big screen was really amazing. And we're really excited for tomorrow night. The event is being put on by the Production Farm, which is run by a very dear friend of ours. And that they supported us a lot in making the film, connecting us with locations and stuff. So this whole screening is just a fundraiser for them. And they're a nonprofit helping with behavioral health.
Very nice. So tell us a little bit about The Dancing Monkey. I know it's derived from a Eugene O'Neill play, but can you tell us about the story a little bit, Chandler?
Yeah, sure. So it's an adapted from a Eugene O'Neill play called The Hairy Ape. And it's a story about Wayne. Wayne works at a cardboard box factory, and he is the deciding vote in a union drive to decide whether or not the union becomes the factory becomes unionized. And so the film is kind of about his existential struggle to understand his place as a working person in America and, you know, wrestle with the decision that he has to make.
That's great. I love that. I mean, you can never go wrong telling a story about the working man's struggle. Were you unable to use, since it's an adaptation, could you not use the title, The Hairy Ape, or did you not want to?
Well, we didn't want to, you know, the play is in public domain, okay. Which is one of the reasons why we chose to do it, because it's over 100 years old. We also changed it ever so slightly. The title of the film is kind of reflective of how the hairy ape is used in the play. So it makes sense when you see the film for the name change.
That's so great. All right, so where can people see it? It's tomorrow night. It's tomorrow at the Weill Center for the Performing Arts in Sheboygan. Beautiful old theater.
Oh, my gosh. Such a beautiful theater. We're so excited to play there.
Yeah.
Right in downtown Sheboygan. Starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow, and then we'll also be in Wisconsin Rapids on Thursday night.
Okay. And are there tickets available? And if so, do they buy them right at the theater?
Right at the theater, right at the box office of the theater. Yeah, and it's an incredible space. As filmmakers, we're always excited to show our film in any, you know, public space with a crowd, but it's even that much better when it's in a beautiful theater like that.
Absolutely. So as someone who has shot in a small town myself, I was blown away by the local support you get and how people just want to be part of things. Was that your experience? Were you able to cast a lot of extras or minor roles from Wisconsin Rapids or just in Wisconsin in general?
Absolutely. You know, coming from New York, and I've shot in LA before, you know, you basically can't turn a corner without spending a lot of money to shoot somewhere. Yeah. And Wisconsin hospitality really outdid itself. We were incredibly embraced. People were kind of it was almost embarrassing how much help we were being given. And it's definitely something that you're not going to find, as you know, you're not going to find unless you're shooting in a small town in the great state of Wisconsin.
It's so great. And we're trying to bring the incentives here. We'll see if that pans out or not.
Fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So The Dancing Monkey, you're the writer, director, producer. Is this your first feature film, directing a feature film?
Yeah, this is my first narrative feature, my first scripted feature. We've done feature-length docs before, but this is our first scripted feature. It was definitely a passion project, a project of love, and something that, as you know, you're a filmmaker. You just kind of once you get the ball rolling and once you're ready to start making it happen, things just start falling into place, and everything came together.
That's so great. I wish you so much luck with this, Chandler. I love independent film, and I love that you shot it here and used Wisconsin actors and Wisconsin locations. And even though you're a New York guy, on behalf of this state, welcome and thank you for shooting here. And I just hope you crush tomorrow night and in Wisconsin Rapids as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, continued success. And thanks for being with us here on Nightlight tonight.
Appreciate it. Have a great night.
All right, you too, buddy. That's Chandler Wild. The film is The Dancing Monkey. You can check it out tomorrow night if you're in the Sheboygan area. It's at the Weill Center for the Performing Arts at 826 North 8th. You can purchase tickets over the phone at 920-208-3243. That's 920-208-3243, or in person right at the theater. And I think tickets are only like $12 or something like that. And the great thing about these screenings, I should have asked him if there was a Q&A. But are the Q&As afterwards? It's like a film festival setting. And he said they did one last night in Chicago. It's so much fun when you're there and the director and the producer are there and they answer questions that the audience might have. So if you get a chance, check out The Dancing Monkey, and you cannot beat the source material. It's an adaptation of a Eugene O'Neill play called The Hairy Ape. So check it out. And thank you to Chandler Wild and my buddy Kurt Krause, who set that up. Kurt did, I think he said, art direction for the film, and Kurt is a local actor as well, who's been on Nightlight. So good stuff. Always fun to help promote an independent film. Let's get back to some of the texts here before we move on and bring on Lisa Hale. Chris Casper texts in from the 608 and says, Robin Hood. That's a great one. I forgot about Robin Hood. Thank you, as always, Chris. I love when Chris is a part of the show. From the 920, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Tim Burton fans. Carla from the 608 also adds Beauty and the Beast. Okay. And she says Shrek 2 and Tangled. Tangled is a great movie. Forgot about Tangled. Are we doing okay? Oh, we got to keep going. Okay. Lisa Hale is coming up next. We got some fantastic news coverage coming up in honor of Lisa Hale's appearance at 735. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in California announced a massive drug bust involving foreign cartels. ABC's M. Nguyen has details.
Federal prosecutors in Southern California have announced a historic bust, charging 24 suspects in connection with an alleged money laundering scheme between Mexico's Sinaloa drug cartel and Chinese brokers, while seizing millions of dollars in drugs, including 300 pounds of cocaine.
Today and Thursday expected to be the hottest days of the week in the eastern Great Lakes and New England. Heat index readings expected to hit triple digits. Millions of people dealing with potentially dangerous heat. The Biden administration involved in another diplomatic dispute with Israel after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accused the White House of withholding weapons shipments. And baseball legend Willie Mays, one of the greatest players in history, has died at age 93. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services wants people attending fairs and petting zoos to be careful interacting with animals this summer. A new strain of bird flu is affecting dairy cattle in other states, but state epidemiologist Thomas Haupt says the risk for humans is very low.
We're going to be working with the local public health departments and providers to be sure that we're testing people who need to be tested, but we also want to assure the public that it's not a panic situation as yet.
DHS recommends fairgoers take simple precautions, like washing their hands and avoiding animals that look sick. The Juneteenth flag was raised at the state capitol building on Tuesday. Governor Evers has ordered the flag be flown until sunset on Wednesday. Juneteenth celebrates the emancipation of enslaved Black and African people in the United States, and it has been a federal holiday since 2021. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Woody Harrelson was in a motorcycle accident recently while driving to Conan O'Brien's podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, where he was to appear with Ted Danson. O'Brien addressed the bandage on Harrelson's hand. During the broadcast, Harrelson told O'Brien about his accident and said it's a good thing he wore a helmet because he flew over his handlebars and hit his head when he crashed into a Tesla. Instead of going to an actual doctor, Woody drove to the set where pretend Dr. Becker bandaged him up. Throughout the interview, listeners learned that hazing was alive and well on the set of Cheers. Danson says most of the actors were in their 30s, and young Buck Harrelson was 24 when he joined the cast. In an effort to show Harrelson the pecking order, Danson said he and his castmates tried to kick Harrelson's butt, first with physical activity, but Harrelson beat them all in basketball, leg wrestling, and arm wrestling. When they switched to more cerebral methods, Harrelson beat them at chess, too. Who would have thought a humble guy from Indiana could outsmart Hollywood actors? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are possible. Partly sunny skies and highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms and a low of 65. Mostly cloudy, 78 on Thursday with an isolated thunderstorm. For Friday, scattered storms and a high near 87.
Currently, 78 degrees.
The John and Gordy Show.
I've told you 1,000 times in the show, and no one has believed me, but I'm apolitical. I don't look at things that way. I want to see what works and what doesn't, okay. What saves us money and what will help most people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the people who have already made it, who are wealthy, already have benefited from a system that we all have put into. They should pay back a little bit.
Weekday mornings 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad-reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Happy Juneteenth, Wisconsin. I'll be joined by Reggie Jackson, former griot of the American Black Holocaust Museum, award-winning author and Wisconsin historian. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Tom in New Berlin says, ants. The thing is, it's our political situation. We are stronger together than apart. How can reprograms? I think he's saying ants. So ants was a good film. That was a, you know, good animated film from about maybe 25 years ago, 20 years ago. Kind of forgot about ants. And Paula, Conrad's mom, checking in. Hello, Mrs. Krieger. She says, my favorite is also Shrek. I notice a pattern in the Krieger family, you guys.
I'm the odd one out, I guess.
Yeah, but whether it's like snacks or whatever, well, you guys tend to like the same things. And I guess that's not a surprise in a family. It's the same way in my family. Sherry says, Avatar. That's a great animated film. That's the question tonight, folks. And we're asking it because Inside Out 2 saved the summer box office. So we're asking what your favorite animated film is. So please let us know. You can text us. You can do it old school on the text line. You can text on the app. It's so easy to use if you haven't downloaded it yet. I highly recommend it. And, you know, how can people watch on the stream, Conrad?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba or WGBW. And we're also on YouTube under Civic Media and under WGBW and X with WGBW.
So. Yeah, so if you're there, and feel free to give us a like if you can, or a follow, or what do the kids say these days?
Well, give it a like. You can give it a follow as well.
Follow is great. Likes are great. That's all great, no matter what the vernacular you use. Okay, so I'm excited to welcome my next guest. As I mentioned before the break, she covers Northeast Wisconsin for Civic Media, does a bang-up job, and she's a very nice person, too, from what I've known. Let's get to know her a little more, though, and welcome Lisa Hale to Nightlight. Lisa, hi.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Doing very well. You said y'all. Are you a Wisconsin girl, or are you a transplant?
Well, it's kind of hard to really say what I am, because I was born in Michigan, and so I spent the first trimester of my life, so to speak, in Michigan. And then when I was 12, we moved down to Louisiana. And then when I became an adult, I have gone back and forth between Wisconsin and Louisiana so many times consider myself a Midwestern Southerner. So,
all right, that works. That's a nice mix, right? I mean, hopefully you're in Louisiana in the winter months primarily, but
no, unfortunately. Oh. I'm here in Wisconsin now, loving it. Would much rather be in Wisconsin any day over Louisiana. I love Louisiana. Do not get me wrong. I mean, I miss the food, something fierce, and I miss the culture. But, you know, if today is any indication, you know, it got kind of warm and it's even worse in Louisiana. And no, I'm done with the heat. I can put more clothes on. I can't take more clothes off. So,
well, not on this show. You can't.
No.
This is a family show, Lisa. So how are you doing at Civic Media? Do you love being here and covering the area?
I certainly do. I really, really do. Of course, you know, every time I've lived in Wisconsin, it's been here in Northeast Wisconsin. I lived in Green Bay. I lived in Ripon. I lived in Fond du Lac. I've lived in Oshkosh now. And it's home to me. And I just love being here and covering the issues that make this area tick.
Oh, very well said. Do people tell you that they like your voice or that you have a voice for news?
No.
Really?
They really don't. It's because, you know, that radio voice, it only comes out. My stepson, bless his heart, he once said when I got really just reared up and was going at it, you know, and I was scolding him about something. And I guess my Southern accent was really strong while I was scolding. And he said, you know who you sound like? You sound like that woman on Designing Women that gets all riled up.
Oh,
he was talking about Juliet Sugarbaker.
was that like, Annie Potts? Who was that?
No, that was Dixie Carter.
Yes. That was a funny show. That was a great show.
Yeah.
You could be compared to worse, right?
Exactly. I mean, if it's going to be somebody, a strong-willed female with intelligence and smarts, I'm all about
that. There you go. Yeah, that's pretty good.
He can
good.
Compare me to her any day.
So, how is news different in certain areas? Like, I feel like news is news, but, you know, there are different regions of the country that have different ways of life, different lifestyles. Are you more prone to see certain news stories in Wisconsin than you would be in Michigan or Louisiana?
I wouldn't say that the news stories vary in different, vary that much. I mean, the way, maybe the way governmental reporting is done is different, because Louisiana is a completely different governmental society than every other state in the nation. Louisiana is under the Napoleonic Code, whereas every other state in the nation draws their code from English law.
Okay, so, wow, interesting.
Yeah, Louisiana's law is very, very different. We don't have counties, we have parishes.
Right.
You know, it's not a county board, it's a police jury. Jeez. Elections are not done in the same way that they're done here. You have an open primary for all elections, and then the top two vote getters for those elections, regardless of party, are the ones who are going to be competing against each other. So, you know, it's very interesting governmentally, the change between them.
Sounds like they think they're so big.
Louisiana wishes it was big as Texas. Let me just put it that way.
Probably.
It has Texas envy.
So you've been a reporter for years and years. What are some of the like most interesting or weird stories you've covered?
Well, you know, I've done everything in the reporting realm. I've done freelance magazine writing. I've done newspaper. I've done radio. I've done TV. But I have to say that probably I don't know that I would call it the weirdest, but the most unique story I ever went on was a plane crash, because it was a very visceral story. And just being out there with the search and rescue teams, it was beyond anything I could have ever imagined doing. And that was shortly after I got out of college the first time. I was a newbie, you know, a new reporter, really green under, and was doing that story. So that one's definitely stuck with me.
Were you freaked out? Like, because you didn't know what you'd see? I mean, there's times I pulled over on the highway to see if I could help, if there was something, and you're kind of scared. Like, you don't know what you're going to see, right?
Do you know that I still have anxiety attacks every time I come up on anything that I think might be newsworthy that I'm going to need to cover, because I have to immediately go into Lisa Hale reporter, not Lisa Hale person. But in that particular thing, I don't know if it was because I had convinced myself before we even went out there, this is probably going to be gnarly. You're going to be okay. Just, you know, do what you got to do. Take the pictures you got to take, get the quotes. You can do this. And some of it was disturbing, but for the most part, I was able to separate myself from it and just be an observer, which I think is something that a reporter always needs to be able to do, is to step back and not be a part of, but rather be an observer of the situation.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I think I'd have to fake an injury or something. Like I'd pull a hammy or do a head fake and get out of it, you know, and hey, where'd it go? It's just here a minute ago.
I've had some editors, though, that would say, unless you can prove that your head has actually come off your body, you're covering the story. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you have stories you like to cover more than others?
You know, I love a good human interest story. I love the stories that are telling the story of Joe Sixpack, who did something really awesome and is proud of it, but at the same time wishes he wasn't the center of attention. Those are the stories I love, because they are the real people and the real stories that need to be told.
Boy, that's a great answer. My guest is Lisa Hale. She covers Northeast Wisconsin for Civic Media here. And so you cover basically Fond du Lac up to the UP, from here to the lake. Well,
yeah, pretty much. I guess you could say Todd, our station manager, would tell me Fondy might be a little bit too far south.
Oh.
But occasionally if something comes up in Fondy that I think, like the Mercury Marine layoffs, I'll pick that up, you know. But Yeah. From about, let's say from Van Dyne, maybe North Fond du Lac, northward.
Okay. All the way up to the North Pole.
Well, that's what it seems like sometimes. It's a good enough story.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So do you have, I had Terry Bell on the show last week. We did the show for Madison, and I love having Terry on. He's a movie buff and likes TV and all that kind of stuff. What do you have a favorite movie about news?
About news.
Yeah, or TV show. Mm.
I would have to say probably Broadcast News.
Great movie.
Would be my favorite one about news. That just something about that one is always, of course, I'm a big Holly Hunter fan. And when they run that tape from way in the back where the newsroom is to the product, all the way up to the front to play it on the air live, and Joan Cusack is running like, you know, O.J. Simpson in an airport, you know, right. She's just going, jumping over things, and she's got this tape that I've seen that happen. That's what, you know, I've seen just that type of thing happen. So
isn't it fun to watch a movie like that when, you know, nowadays you've got the right and the left, and it's propaganda, more or less, or a cheerleading squad. It's not necessarily, you know, sometimes there's truth told, but it's like what you guys do here at Civic Media is you're covering a story, blocking out, you know, partisanship, and you're just reporting facts. I love seeing that because that's kind of old school. And that's what I love about movies like Broadcast News. They still have those discussions. This isn't newsworthy, or this is, or don't have him showing a tear in his eye to get ratings, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, that was a great scene.
Great scene.
Where was the second camera?
Yeah, yeah.
So you'll find that I will pick up on stuff like that and start quoting movies. I just, you know.
All right, so that's a great thing. Let's get to know you. Let listeners get to know you through the arts, through music and TV and film. We just talked about Broadcast News. What about, have you ever seen The Paper with Michael Keaton?
Paper.
That's an old movie from the 80s. Then there's Spotlight, another one about the priest scandal in Boston that came out a few years ago. That was a good news movie. And
A Few Good Men was good. A Few Good Men. What movie am I thinking of?
All the President's Men.
Thank you. All the President's
Men. Great film.
Men.
I just watched that in the last 6 months. I love that. And that's another one. I love seeing reporters stick to a story. And it's inspiring, you know, that they want to tell the story and get the truth out there. Have you ever seen season 5 of The Wire?
No, I wasn't a big Wire fan. Okay. What happened in The Wire?
Well, I believe that's the season where they talk. It's set kind of at the Baltimore Sun. And, you know, papers are kind of starting to not be as relevant. And it was just a great, you know, it's something you might enjoy, even though you're radio. You said you worked in all facets of news.
I've done all facets.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good season. You mentioned you're a Kevin Smith fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And that might seem, you know, strange coming from somebody who is a serious news person and whatever. But Kevin Smith, I've always said I would be happy to be his ex-wife ever.
You're not really aiming for the sky there. I mean,
Of course, you know, he's madly in love with his wife, Jennifer Swabach. So, you know, I always say he could be the next Mr. Lisa Hale. I have no problem.
Well, you've certainly done your homework on this guy. I don't want to have to start a file on you, Lisa. But
honey, let me tell you, there was in Louisiana, there was another girl who also had a huge crush on Kevin Smith. She used to get into fights with me on Facebook over who was going to be the next one to marry him.
That's great.
So, just joking around stuff. I'm really not that crazy, honest.
I believe you. let's find out what Lisa's favorite Kevin Smith movie is when we come back. This is Nightlight with Beach Waba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm waiting just for you. Someone's a little boy love. Someone's a little boy love. And I love her.
listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show.
The John and Gordy Show.
Why not start drinking first thing in the morning?
That's what I'm thinking. What a great breakfast.
6 a.m.
Thinking about getting back on this stuff for Gordy.
Why not? I'm celebrating losing 25 pounds in the last 6 months. And now,
going to go on a bender, right? That's it.
Why not celebrate a little bit? Get snot slinging drunk first thing in the morning.
Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down her hair. She would merengue and do the cha-cha.
You know, people always say stuff like, oh, Barry Manilow, he's so lame. And then you hear a Barry Manilow tune and you can't not tap your foot. It's Barry Manilow's birthday this week. He turns 82, I think. I didn't write it down here, but happy birthday to Barry Manilow. And that's a great song. Copacabana, you can't... I'm sorry, I'm not turning that off if I'm in the car. What do you think about Barry Manilow, Lisa?
Absolutely love him. I wouldn't call myself a fanalow, but I do love Barry Manilow. I can remember many, many CDs and cassette tapes being worn out of his when I was younger. So
when I was a kid, when I spent the first part of my childhood in Chicago, we lived in the city in a neighborhood right off the Kennedy Expressway. And, you know, every, you know, kids that age think they're so macho. Their nickname for Barry Manilow was Barely Man Enough. I probably laughed hysterically at that when I was 12.
Probably.
But he's great. I love Barry Manilow.
He is. Yeah.
Okay, so you have to tell us, my guest is Lisa Hale. She covers Northeast Wisconsin for Civic Media. She's a great reporter. You'll hear her work here at Civic Media if you listen in on WGBW or WISS. What is your favorite Kevin Smith movie, future ex-Miss Kevin Smith?
That is really hard. That's like a Sophie's Choice almost, because I have to divide them. Sophie's there's not just one Kevin Smith
that
movie.
Is a little dramatic, Lisa.
I know, but here's the situation. You've got off everything in the View Askew world in that universe of his, which is, you know, Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, those. So you've got those. Then you've got his totally bizarre movies like Tusk and Red State.
Dogma and
things like that. Even though Dogma is in the View Askew universe, it's still outside the box. And right. Then there's these total flops like Jersey Girl.
Was that Ben Affleck
or am I thinking
Jiggly? I don't know.
Ben Affleck was Jersey Girl.
I thought so. Okay.
But I think if I have to put my finger on it, because it is so quotable and because I've watched it so many times, I have to go with Clerks, the original.
Me too. Up top. You know. Yeah, absolutely. I think I have not seen all of Kevin Smith's movies. I like Chasing Amy. I did not see Clerks 2, but I agree with you. Clerks is just, it's so raw. And so I love the black and white. It's just such a world you're looking in on, and you don't know any of the actors. I just love that.
Yeah, it was so much of our time too. I mean, think about it. This was Gen X, a film for Gen X, you know, by Gen X, of Gen X. And it was so us. And I had to introduce my nephew to it. Now he's as big of a Kevin Smith fan as I am.
That's great.
And of course, I've seen Clerks 2 and Clerks 3, which is very meta in itself. So it's really just one of those films that, because the dialogue is so good, because it is conversations that you would have with your best friend,
right,
who you work with and are bored of life with, you know?
Absolutely. No, that's great. And you said you're a fan, obviously, of the some of the bigger blockbusters, too. Do you have a favorite Steven Spielberg film?
Schindler's List.
Yeah. Great film.
Yeah.
A very different film than a Kevin Smith movie, too. So it's good that you have that range.
I do. I mean, I love a raunchy comedy as much as I love an Oscar winner. You know, I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet because my husband is so not one of those who likes to see serious movies.
Okay.
So I have to find a time when I can watch it and he won't be bothered.
So you have to, you have movies like Porky's to look forward to with your husband around Friday night.
with my husband on a Friday night, it's a James Bond film.
Okay.
We do James Bond Fridays.
Wow. Really?
So, yes.
Every Friday. Yes. Look at you. That's
every
great.
Friday we do a James Bond film. We've just recently started it. We're up to, we just did Thunderball this past.
Okay.
Past Friday.
That's
so
nice. You got a lot of movies to
we
work
got a
through.
Lot to go through, man. We're going to be having a blast.
I'm
laughing at how dated they are though.
Yeah. Some of them are kind of hard to sit through, even though. Yeah. I don't know. I just had this conversation recently and I still like the actors, but it's just a different style and a different aesthetic in those movies, you know, than you see now.
A different style, a different aesthetic, a completely different take. It amazes me how people thought Sean Connery was the most handsome man in the world. And right. I'm sitting there going, eh.
He's no Kevin Smith.
He's no Kevin Smith. This I would not fall on my knees to this James Bond. He just doesn't do it for me. So
so we have a couple minutes left. I want to ask you, you told me one of the films you love or shows that you liked was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I used to write promos for the WB Network when I lived in Los Angeles, and I wrote a lot of promos for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so I had to watch parts of it. I've never seen a full episode. I love finding shows I haven't seen, because when you find a show you haven't seen, you have the whole catalog to look forward to watching. Can you recommend that still? Like, does it hold up?
It does hold up in some ways.
Okay.
It's funny because it's a 90s show, and so the fashions are very 90s and the slang is very 90s, but I still think it holds up to all the supernatural shows that are still on today. I mean, there's a reason why it's a classic.
Yeah. And
I would definitely do it. And you do you like musical theater?
Yeah, I do.
Definitely watch Buffy then. And then when you get into season 6, you'll know why I asked you that question.
Okay. I'll watch it with my daughter. She's all about musical theater. And I like it too. I liked it growing up, but I will do that.
Season 6, episode, I can't remember the episode number, but it's called Once More with Feeling. You gotta see it.
This is kind of coming back to me now. I don't know that I ever saw the episode, but I remember the talk about that episode.
Yes.
We just have about a minute left. Can you name your favorite 80s film and your favorite animated film? That's our question tonight, Lisa.
Favorite animated film would have to be Shrek.
Wow,
favorite
okay.
80s film, I'm going to go ahead and say, just because it's you, The Beastmaster. I mean, you had to have in the 80s. Oh, wait, should it be Grease 2? It's one of those two. It's really bad 80s movie. One of the other way, it's either Beastmaster or Grease 2.
Thank you for tying me to either one of those movies. Lisa, thanks so much for your time tonight. And,
you're
doing a great job. Keep up the great job with the news. Love hearing your voice every day. And,
Thank you.
To meet you on the air.
Great to meet you. I'm
All
so
right.
glad to be here.
Lisa Hale, we'll have her back soon, and she can tell us more. She's a big Conrad, did you have any idea?
I had no idea.
I didn't know either. We got to have her back and talk more movies and TV with Lisa. Okay, coming up next on Nightlight, my good friend Mike Schmidt, we're going to talk about Quentin Tarantino, and I'll read more of your texts. Keep them coming, folks. What is your favorite animated film? This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show at 11:33, Dr. Laura Hanks joins us for public cervix announcement. You can email your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.